All right, this is the last. I know I've been on this a long time, but I've stretched it out in between other weeks. But this is part four of this message on the gift of tongues, and I believe I will be done with it. I don't want anyone in this. You know what happens when you preach on a subject and you've preached hard and you've went through all the ins and outs and ups and downs on it? It isn't but 6, 8, 10 months later, somebody comes up and says, would you preach on, you need to preach on so-and-so. And I thought, I wonder where you were, because I preached on that for weeks. Don't anyone, I don't want to put that on you. A lot of people don't understand this gift. And I know from time to time, I think it from time to time this year, if the Lord leads, I will preach on other gifts of the Spirit too, because there's a lot of misunderstanding. It is my desire that the church operate, I always say, on all 9 cylinders. Do you know why I say that, all 9 cylinders? Can anybody guess why I say I want us operating on all 9 cylinders? I don't know what engine has 9 cylinders. There's 9 gifts of the Spirit, right? And the oil, which makes all that work, is the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is not gifts of the Spirit. How many of you know they're separate? Fruit grows on you through relationship. John chapter 15. Gifts are supernaturally and instantaneously imparted to you by His grace. You want to have them both together. I've always had some people say, I got the gift of love, or I got the gift of patience. That is what all of us are supposed to have, all of that in the fruit of the spiritual realm, because that's, and it's not a gift. It grows on you. I guess you could say it's a gift, but it's not the same thing. So I ended last week about not neglecting, if you have received that gift, and I'm not a kind of a pastor where if you come up here and you want to be filled, you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, I don't look for one particular gift and say you got to have this gift or it hasn't happened to you. I think that is a big mistake, because then we're trying to force the anointing. Decide for God what gifts of the Spirit He wants to give you, right? I'm not one to do that. I know some churches do that. And they basically mostly do it with the gift of tongues. If they don't hear you speak in tongues, inside of themselves they say you're not filled with the Spirit. There's some extreme churches that say you don't even go to heaven without it. Now, none of that's biblical. And we're going to get into the Word at the end of this, so I'll explain why. However, it is a powerful gift. I believe the gift of tongues is the most common gift when people are filled with the Holy Spirit. You certainly see that in the book of Acts. 1 Timothy 4:14 is where we're going to begin, where I left off. And there's a lot of things in here, doctrinal things, in this one little verse that I could go off on a train and preach sermons on. But Paul said to Timothy, who was his son in the Lord. He had mentored him. He had discipled him. And he said this to him, do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Now there's a lot packed in that. You don't necessarily just morph into having gifts of the Spirit. It's not like just a morphing thing. You see through the book of Acts, people were baptized in the Holy Spirit, received gifts of the Holy Spirit in different ways. From the start, you see them, and the next question I was going to throw out to you is, how do you receive this gift or any gift or the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You see that the first time this happened in the church collectively was on the day of Pentecost. There were not people walking around laying hands on them to be filled. They were obeying Jesus and waiting for the promise of the Father, which was the power of the Holy Spirit coming on them so they could go out and minister the gospel in the most severe of trials and fires. And with that came that gift. So you didn't see that. But in this case with Timothy, he's saying, don't neglect the gift that's in you. And it was given to him by another gift of the Spirit called prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Now, some people can base, we tend to build doctrines on one verse without taking the rest of Scripture. There may be some people looking at this and saying, well, you can't get the a gift of the Spirit unless somebody prophesies over you and the elders are laying hands on you. And that's not accurate if you look at the rest of the books of Acts. This is how Timothy received this, but it was imparted to him. And I've heard people say, no, there aren't people gifted to impart the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit, or gifts. I differ with that. I see that in, I even seen another place where they called on one of the disciples to come to pray for somebody to be. I believe that you can have a gifting of impartation. And if you have been setting through this series and you've prayed and you're just not sure and you want to, the Holy Spirit to fill you or an impartation of particular gifts, first I'm going to say it's not up to you which ones you have. God does ask you to desire spiritual gifts and ask Him for them. It's not wrong. But I want you either today in this service, by the end of the service, or next week especially, be here, because when Michael Van Vlieman comes, I strongly believe this. I believe this through observation. I believe this through personal experience. I believe Michael, and perhaps his dad in some other ways when it comes to healing over there, he is an imparter. I've seen it more than once. I've seen Michael be gifted and anointed to impart things from the Spirit. I don't know whether I might have mentioned this when I mentioned it in here a bunch of times, but maybe last week behind the pulpit, I got prayer up here at the end of the prayer line and felt nothing when Michael prayed for me when he was here the last time. And then 2 days later, and I know because the Lord showed me that the impartation manifested 2 days later in me. And I was in a public place, of all places. And suddenly His Spirit began to surge in me and surge in me. And it was so powerful, I almost had to get on my knees where I was and just say, God, please, I don't know if I can take anymore. And then I, at the same time, oh, God, don't shut it off. Have you ever had that experience? But there was an impartation that day, which tells me you never go by feelings, you go by faith. And the feelings come later, but wow, was that powerful. So, when I say, how do you receive this gift? God will not allow Himself to be put in a box, in a mold, because we're humans. We tend to worship, we tend to drop our worship into things we can see or methods, right? I'm kind of a method kind of a guy. The Methodists got that name because they had certain things they did, but in the day that they were born in the fire, they had the power of the Holy Spirit when they were birthed. So He's not going to limit Himself to a method. You see, we find that sometimes it just gets imparted to you in various ways. And you remember the scripture in Acts that I preached about, and this is something I pray for, and it's up to God to answer it. And maybe it's an easy way out, or maybe it's just awesome to read about it. When Peter was preaching to the Gentiles, he didn't have people run around laying hands on them. He was preaching the gospel, and the Holy Ghost came down on them. And not only were they saved because of his preaching, they believed in Jesus. Because if you're not saved, you cannot receive the Holy Spirit. My Bible says that the Holy Spirit does not dwell in an unsaved person. But they got saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit almost virtually at the same time. Because it said the Holy Ghost came and filled them, and then gifts manifested. And they saw the Gentiles prophesying, speaking in tongues. Then they went out and baptized them. Which, what does that tell me? It tells me that you are saved first. You don't go to get baptized to get saved. They got saved, and then because they were saved, they got baptized. In another place in the book of Acts, they were in prayer. We also see that it is imparted also in Scripture by the laying on of hands by those gifted to do so. As we looked at 1 Timothy, now I don't know what gift he received by them laying hands on him. But we also saw that in the book of Acts where Paul came upon some other disciples, believers, and he said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And if you look at all the Greek and all this stuff, and with that, it means the power of the Holy Spirit coming on you because they were believers. When you become a believer, you have a measure of God's Spirit. He comes into your heart and He lives in you. But there's a difference between that and being empowered and filled with the Holy Ghost. So Paul said, did you have this experience? And their answer was a lot like mine when I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, we don't even know whether there be a Holy Ghost. We don't know what you're talking about. What's a Holy Ghost? They didn't know what that was. They knew who Jesus was. And they didn't, if you notice there, Paul didn't say, well, I can't pray for you until we go through a 10-week study on this and you know everything there is to know, like I've been doing to you here. No. God didn't need that help. In fact, I don't know about, I wanted to say y'all, because my mom's been watching Paula Deen cook on TV, and she says y'all every other. I don't know if y'all, what your experience was like, but that was my experience. I didn't know whether there'd be a Holy Ghost. I didn't even know there was a such thing as that particular gift, the gift of tongues. I never heard it before. I didn't know anything that they were talking about. These ladies just said, can we pray for you to be filled with the Spirit? And I thought, cool, that's all right. Yeah, go for it. I didn't know what I was asking for. I didn't even know what. And when they prayed, I knew something happened. I didn't get Holy Ghost goosebumps, which I do get. I am one that gets Holy Ghost goosebumps when I know the Lord's working. But suddenly, I had a language inside of me that I never learned. And Donnie was speaking German to me this morning. Not by the Holy Spirit. He was just saying words he knew because he was stationed in Germany. And I didn't know what he was talking about. And I said, Donnie, if the Lord imparts that to me, I'll speak it fluently. I took 2 weeks of German in high school and dropped out. But this day, I suddenly had words inside of me in a language. And I knew if I spoke those words, it would flow off. You know, they'd just flow out of me. And I thought, wow, this is interesting. And these ladies, one of them says, oh, he's got a full language. I didn't know what she's talking about. A full language of what? I was the first person I ever heard speak in tongues. So no one beat it into me. They didn't indoctrinate me and try to force it on me like you do see. And I'm going to talk about that today before we're done with the message. But it was just as natural as could be. And I knew when I spoke in this language, the words just flowed out of me. You know how you are when you speak, and I don't know about your life situation, but while I'm talking now, I'm not thinking of every single word I'm going to say in a sentence. They're just there, here and there, and they come out. You don't think of every, if you had to think of every single word you said in a sentence, your speech would be like this. I am thinking. It just doesn't work that way. God didn't design us that way. He flows out of us with our natural language. And that was the way it was and is to this day with that precious gift. I don't think of how the words are going to sound or try to make them up. They're there. So it's imparted in a lot of different ways. It was imparted to me by the laying on of hands. So I'm going to focus a little bit, and this timing is so perfect, because Michael's coming next week, about how you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, period. And it isn't all about tongues. He may give you one or two other gifts instead. That's what makes a complete body. All nine cylinders running in here. Did you know you can simply, even though you see different ways in here, you can simply ask the Father to impart this to you. In fact, we're admonished to desire the gifts of the Spirit, and Jesus makes this promise in Luke 11:13. And he may be, there he is, I'm scrolling. Thank you, Daniel. And sometimes people think, this seems so simple. Well, it is so simple. God doesn't like things complicated and confusing, because my Bible says confusion comes from the devil anyway, right? But Jesus makes this wonderful statement, and when he says at the beginning of it, if you being evil, he was talking about us being born in sin, right? Born in sin. When you're a Christian, you have the sin nature, and then you have the Spirit of God, and sometimes there's a war there. When we get glorified bodies, all that's going to go away, hallelujah. But he says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit, yes, the Holy Spirit, yes, the Holy Spirit, to them that ask him? You say, Kevin, is it that? Yeah, it's that simple. He wants to give you, pour out His Spirit on you, baptize you in the Holy Spirit more than you do. And I have seen through the, I'm getting ahead of myself. I've seen people try to force this, to force the anointing of God on people. They want to be filled with the Holy Spirit so bad that they actually hinder the Holy Spirit while they're doing it. Reminds me, back in time, Evansville, Indiana, 1994, I believe it was, right in there, 94, 95, dear brother and the Lord and I had, by the Lord's direction, started a church down there. Our Lord's Chapel was the name of it till they moved out of town. But I never have been comfortable. I tell people I'm more comfortable being an Aaron than a Moses. I would be much more happy to assist a pastor than to be one, but here I am, and it always seems like it happens, right? But I was assisting Adam Bartlett down there, and he comes up, and we're way overdue for Adam to come up and give a message up here. We really are. He's hardcore. But I had the youth group. I'm getting a bit old to have the youth group nowadays, but I always loved teenagers. And as it were, probably because it was proper, I'm a single guy, but they were all young men. They were all boys, around 14, 15 years old, up to maybe 5, 6, 7. I mean, they have a big youth group. It was a small church. We just got started. These kids were mostly unchurched, and those are the ones I love going after, the ones that aren't churched, don't know Jesus. I don't necessarily like to go after the ones that are already in a church somewhere. That's not good unless they're in a cult or a bad church. But I had this ragtag bunch of kids in there. And, of course, the first priority was to make sure they were all born again. Prayed with them to be saved and everything. And I remember this during one youth group. We had our youth groups on Friday nights. And I had them in the class. And I said, now all you young men are saved. You've asked Jesus in your heart. I said, I really want to make sure that the next step is for you to be filled, baptized in His Holy Spirit. Now, they had no clue. They were like four. They didn't know what I was talking about. You know how kids are. You're talking and somebody's flipping a rubber band underneath the table, whatever they do. You just learn to work around that. And I knew they didn't have a clue what I was talking about. But I thought, I know these kids need power. And by the way, the quicker you get them saved, the better. The quicker you get them empowered, baptized in the Holy Spirit, the better. Because guess what? Many of them are going to government-run schools that has pushed God clear out of it and teaching all kinds of things. They need that power from the Holy Ghost to stand. They need Him to be, they need to walk in the power of His might. So I'm looking at these 14-year-old kids and I'm thinking, I got to get them filled with the Holy Spirit. I had a lot of experience with that up in Thorntown, one of the best places. I had a good tool up here, still there. And my prayer is that they are still open, but I used to send them down to, used to be called Harvest Ranch. It's Harvest Christian Camp. Send our teens down there and they would come back on fire. Because their goal was, with Christians, is to get them filled, baptized in the Holy Ghost. And they would come back wild in the Lord. And that was a lot of fun. It gave me a little bit of stress at times. I remember a mother calling me one time when a kid came back from camp and they were all going around town laying hands on other kids and praying for them and all that. And this mom says, Kevin, do you think you could come over here and talk to these kids? They had these kids in her living room and they were praying for them and they were laying pillows out on the floor so when they hit, they'd have a soft place to land, and if they didn't go out in the Spirit, they really wanted them to really bad. So I had to instruct them, you know, this is of God. It has to be God, kids. But I didn't want to discourage them because they would come back wildfire, man. Some are serving God powerfully today. But now I'm down here in Evansville with this another ragtag bunch of kids, and they had gotten saved, and I said, I made the comment, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I could tell they had no clue what I was talking about. And one impetuous kid named Aaron Dumkowski. Yes, he was Polish. Aaron was always, a little bit like St. Peter. He spoke up, well, if God wants me to have it, I want it. Can we pray right now? And I thought, I'm not ready for that. I'm 14 years old. I need some help here. Should I call Adam? No, the Lord said he wanted And it reminded me of Scripture, and I said, well, Aaron, if you want it, I guess we'll pray and ask the Lord to fill you. My style is not, I was comfortable in that because my style is not to scream in their ear and try to make them speak in tongues and all. It's just not me. You guys know me. I don't do that to people. The Holy Spirit is so powerful. He does not need our help if it is truly real. I think the more flesh you get in there, the less real. I'm not going to go down that road. So I took the kids back out in the sanctuary. They had a pulpit area just like this. I don't know why we got up on the pulpit, because our prayer area was down here just like this church. But we got up on the pulpit. I don't forget that day. Then I had these other, maybe four or five other teenage boys all around 14, 15 years old. I said, let's all gather around him. And I was feeling a bit weird as I was doing this. I thought, protocol, what does it say here? I said, lay hands on him. And asked Jesus to fill him up with the Holy Ghost, with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. So they just took my... It's amazing what God does when people just have simple faith. I saw a picture the other day of Garfield the cat and the dog that was in that thing up in a tree. And it was captioned, it's amazing what one can do when one doesn't know what one can't do. And there was the dog up in the tree with the cat. It was simple faith. These kids didn't know. They were just operating on what the Word said. And so was I at that point, because usually I'm with other people. I'm praying with the best of them, as long as there's somebody there to impart. But this time, Aaron wanted to be filled. I thought, okay, there's no pressure. I'm just going to ask God to fill him. If I don't see anything, I don't see anything. We're asking. And so we gathered around Aaron, kind of like in this area. And as we began to pray for Aaron, I didn't raise my voice, because guess what? God is not hard of hearing. I just said, Lord, can you fill him? Can you baptize him in the Holy Spirit? He doesn't have to understand everything. In fact, more understanding will come to him when he's filled and baptized, as the Holy Spirit will guide him into all truth. And that's why that happened this way in the Bible. They didn't give him weeks and months of teaching. Now you're ready to be prayed to be filled. No. Like I say, if it's real and it's God's power, he's going to do it just as surely as he did on the day of Pentecost. Well, we're praying for Aaron, and he began to shake. And I thought, that's a good sign, because I've seen that before. Now, Aaron wasn't raised in a church. He knew nothing about the power of God. And there are people that shake under the power of God. You mean to tell me you're such a strong human being, you're stronger than God when his Spirit is entering in, or his presence, that you're just going to stand there like some statue you see in front of a building? Oh my goodness, I don't know about anybody else. I cry. I also get very hot for some reason. I heat up. I don't know what the deal is with that. But there was Aaron. He started shaking. And I saw the kids now opening up their eyes, because I knew something was going on. And all of a sudden, down Aaron went. Boom, no catch. He just crashed. I've always believed Adam had a hardcore catch rule in church to weed out the fakers and the real. He said, too many people are just falling. I don't know if they're all falling under the power that is talking himself into it. So we're not catching people anymore. They're going to hit the floor. And if it's God, they're not going to get hurt. If they get hurt, shame on them. That's Adam. That's how hardcore Adam is. I didn't like the visualization of them bouncing off the floor. We had hard floors in that church, and I still had to run around behind them. But anyway, Aaron went down and went right on his back, and out of his mouth came the most beautiful language. I was astounded. I knew, I've seen that before, but this time I'm leading kids, and we're just simply asking Jesus to fill them. He never seen that before. He didn't know what that was. But he was on his back, and the most beautiful language was coming out of his mouth. And of course, the other kids go, what happened? What's going on? What's he saying? You know, the kids are like that. And I said, you know, in as calm as I could be, well, it's like I taught you, God's filled him with the Spirit, and he's going to be all right in just a little bit. When he comes up and sets down, we're going to go back in the Sunday school class, and we're going to have another lesson, because now I got to teach you on what just happened to him. And I opened up the scripture to the book of, and I shared with those kids the power and demonstration, so real. The reason I brought Aaron up is God does not need our help. And I know there's a lot of well-meaning Christians that try real hard and they scare people half to death. and even cause people to doubt when they try to force an anointing on people or a particular gift, especially this one. Right? Aaron didn't need my help. He just wanted us to ask. And to this day, Aaron, I think he's 40, 41. I still get Father's Day cards from him because he never had a father. But to this day, we just prayed the other day on the phone. He understood how to use that gift. Never forget the day Aaron and I were and I love my Pentecostal brethren. That's my roots. You know, I'm even ordained through a Pentecostal church, Assemblies of God International. But we were in this visiting this church, and this poor woman was up at the front of the church, and she was up in her years. She might have been 70, 75 years old. And they said, "Sister, we're gonna try another time. We're gonna try again today to get you filled with the Spirit." And they had this poor woman up at the front. Now, Aaron and I are guests there. We don't know most anybody in there. I can't even remember why we were in there. But this lady was up there, and they were all around her. "Come on, sister. Come on, sister." They're trying to get her to say a word or trying to make her talk in tongues. And I'm sitting back there thinking, "Oh my, this is not. It's improper. They don't know me. I can't just run up there and I can't take, you know." I've seen people come into fresh into churches and they just kind of take over. I'm not going to be that person today. But it was hard to watch that. This poor woman, they said she'd been praying to be filled with the Holy Spirit for 20, 30 years in that church. I believe she probably was already filled. But when you try to force the anointing, now you got so much flesh in there, you're blocking the Spirit. Well, this guy finally said to her, "Sister, just speak whatever pops into your head. Now, who has access to your soulish realm?" Now, I'm sitting there thinking, "Oh my gosh, mistake number 5. Now, I can't say anything, but Aaron, who was with me, this impetuous kid, by this time he was probably 16, 17. He had been utilizing this gift for a few years, and he knew it wasn't right. He said what I was thinking. He blurts out real loud in the church service. This guy says, "Sister, just say whatever comes in your head." And Aaron yells out, "What if it's a cuss word?" Do you know there was more truth coming out of that young man's mouth that moment? Because if you just say whatever pops into your head, the enemy is very glad to get into your soulish realm. And of course, everybody looked at him. I was embarrassed. I wanted to bust out laughing. I wanted to stand up and say he's telling the truth. But I thought, "Oh, we just got to be quiet." I think she went back to her pew the same way she came. Sad. I'm telling you all this because everything by God is by simple faith. And if he chooses to impart one or more of the 9 gifts, it's his business. This gift isn't given by man by helping the Holy Spirit. It's empowered by the Holy Spirit, and he does not need our help. People, I've seen tickling your chin. I've seen, you know, yelling in your ear and trying to repeat my words. Probably the worst thing of all was the can of salmon man. You guys know that story, right? A lot of visitors here do not. This was in the kind of a church I was ordained in. And I know the Assemblies of God, I know they do not ordain this kind of thing. But what people do in their local churches, they wanted this man filled with the Spirit so bad. And I even know which Assembly of God it was. It was up at Panatic, Indiana. Years ago. But they were frustrated, and all they wanted to do was hear the man speak in tongues. That was their goal, instead of just God fill him, baptize him, let him do the rest. And when they weren't hearing him speak in tongues, this is what they said. "Tell me if you find this in your Bible. If you can, I'm going to repent." Because I've been talking about this one for years to people. They said, "Sir, just say can of salmon as fast as you can." "Yeah, I am. I'm not making this up. Say it as fast as you can, and when your tongue gets all twisted, the Holy Ghost will come in and take over, and you'll be speaking in tongues." Seriously, people, does the Holy Ghost, God in the universe, need our help? Does he work through that kind of stuff? Do you see that kind of thing going on in this Bible? No, you don't. When the power of God came on people, and they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You didn't see that stuff going on. The more flesh you get into something, the less the Holy Spirit is active. You're not going to produce the Holy Spirit by flesh. Flesh produces what, church? Sin and death. Bad moments. I could do a whole thing on the top 10 bad things I have seen in churches that people do trying to get people filled with the Holy Spirit. So this births the question, and I'm not going to belabor these points too long because I'm going to close this up here in a little bit, but how do you know when this gift is real and not a counterfeit? Because guess what? Everything God does, Satan tries to counterfeit. Because his job is to look like God, so you transfer your faith onto him. He tries to mimic God. A, you cannot judge, and I said this before, you cannot judge a tongue by how it sounds. Did you know that? You cannot judge it by how it sounds. If you do this by your own thoughts, you might get very deceived. All the trips I made to Guatemala, and if you know this, they speak Spanish there, but they in a lot of villages they still have a lot of their original Mayan dialects that they speak in, and some of the words, Mayan words, often are mixed in with Spanish words. I speak Spanish, but I don't know the difference of whether I got Mayan or Spanish because I learned it down there. But if you heard, I never forget this on Wycliffe Bible Translation Compound, they brought one out from a village, and he spoke Mayan, and I used to look, and he helped translate the Bible into the Mayan, their particular Mayan tongue, because they're not all the same either. There's 30-some different languages in Guatemala alone, Mayan languages. And so if you heard him talk, and I can't even mimic it, it sounded like a bunch of clicking weird noises a lot of the time. If you heard that in here, you would sit there in the flesh and go, that don't sound like a real tongue. You can't judge it that way. You're not only talking about human languages that God imparts, but angelic tongues as well. So you cannot judge. There's one way to judge a tongue, whether it's of God or not. And it is from another gift of the Holy Spirit called discernment of spirits. The Holy Ghost can tell you. I told you last week about Tom Paino calling a guy out because he was trying to fake tongues and he made him sit down. Now that church flows in that gift. Or they did when I went there. I don't know where they're at with it now. So discernment of spirits will tell you if the gift is real. You try to do it in the flesh and you start rebuking the Holy Spirit, God help you. That's all I have to say about that. B, you must only make this judgment under the anointing of the Holy Spirit with this gift. It's why the Lord gives us that gift, discernment of spirits, right? I'm not going to go for the sake of time. I've mentioned this before. We had a guy get in our church up in Thorntown that he thought his whole job was to test everybody's tongue in the church and decide which was real and which was not. And he did it by flesh means. And we had to rebuke him because he was really causing a lot of doubt in the church. He was secretly talking behind the pastor's back about him. I never forget the day I sat behind him. You guys know I'm not a forceful person. I'm not a dictator. I'm more comfortable taking orders and giving them. But I saw what he was doing, and I remember I said, Wayne, not the Wayne in the sound room, okay? But I said, Wayne, I tell you what, because he's always wanting to test my tongue. I said, I'll let you test my tongue. This is what we're going to do. I'm going to sit behind you in church. I'm going to pray in the Spirit loud so you can hear me, not real loud because I know the rules. I'm going to pray in the Spirit, and you test that tongue. And if it's not of God, I want you to turn around and cast that thing out of me right here in church. I said, but I'm going to warn you about something. You better do it by discernment of spirits. Because if you start rebuking the Holy Spirit in me and trying to cast him out, you're in serious jeopardy with your soul. And I did. I sat behind him. Do you think he turned around or no? He didn't. Because that is how you test if a tongue is real. You can't test it by, and sometimes you may notice if a tongue is given in here and it's short and the interpretation is longer, then you can't time it and say, okay, the tongue lasted 13 seconds, so the interpretation has to last 13 seconds. You can't do that either. I'll tell you why biblically. Or vice versa. It could be a long tongue and a short interpretation. You know why I know this? Languages are like that. Think of Daniel, the handwriting on the wall, many, many, tikal, sepharin. Four words, four simple words that they could not translate. And when Daniel gave the interpretation, it was a whole big prophecy about what was going to happen to the kingdom out of four words. So don't sit there and say, I don't know if that was real. That was a longer interpretation. You don't, no. You can't do that with God. Can't do that with God. Can this gift be counterfeited by the enemy? Absolutely. Do you think demons, that their national language is English? Right? I've seen people possessed. I've heard all things, kinds of things come out of their mouth that aren't the person, including cuss words and threats that they're going to kill me and everything else. You know, that's what demons do. But their national language is not English. They have, if there's languages in heaven, angelic tongues, you better know that fallen spirits have languages too. Right? So that's why the gift of discernment, that's probably another sermon for another time about discernment of spirits. That's a heavy gift. That's not one that I enjoy flowing in, because usually when you're discerning spirits, you're seeing the enemy. Now you've got to bind him and deal with him, and he doesn't like it. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So it can be counterfeited. I also will make the statement that many Christians have this gift but don't understand it and never use it because they think God somehow, if they're speaking in tongues, is going to strike them like a bolt of lightning. You go into some catatonic state and you become a zombie, and he forces you to talk. If you look in your scripture, you're going to see that's contrary to the Word of God. Contrary. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. As the Spirit gave them the words, it was up to them to willfully speak them out of their mouth. That's why Paul said, if there be no interpreter, keep silent and speak to yourself and to God. The gifts and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. He's a gentleman. He doesn't turn you into some zombie against your will. It's sort of like somebody who maybe they have one of the gifts of the Spirit is laying hands on the sick and they recover. You got the gift of healing. God isn't, unless he does it supernaturally and it's according to your will, he's not just going to transport you to the hospital, pick up your hand and force it on somebody to pray for them to be healed. You have to hear God, be willing to obey him with the gift he's given you, and step out in faith and act on that gift. It's the same with prophecy. Those of you who have prophesied in here, Emily, you could have withheld that today, right? You had a word of knowledge on her. You could have withheld it. God didn't force you to go over there. But how would you have felt if you didn't?
Oh, I would have beat myself up.
Yeah. You would have been calling me on the phone, Kevin. I think I missed it. I mean, we talk. But every gift of the Spirit, he imparts to you as a gentleman. And he entrusts you as his bride to hear his voice and step out and willfully use these gifts. That's why Timothy was told to not neglect the gift that was within him. You're not a zombie. You're not forced to do it. So if you've received some gifts of the Spirit, and if tongues is one of them, and you haven't used them, I want you to think about that. He's entrusted you with that. He's not going to force you. That's just not his way. The thing with, as the Spirit gives them utterance, he gives you the words. You can speak them out of your mouth or not. Just as surely as I can talk here or not. And some of you might be saying, I wonder when he's going to wind this up. I will pretty soon, I promise. But it's a willful thing. And I know, I mean, that poor woman in that church that they've been praying, what, 23, that stuff should never be. It should never be. Remember that all the gifts of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, are given to you ultimately by God's choice. He knows what your ministry is and what you need personally. I think the very reason that I received that gift so quickly at a young age, because I needed it badly. So if you're going about boasting about a gift to other people, and Catherine Coleman used to always say that she got... it made her really, I'm using my own language, kind of creeped her out when people run around boasting of the gifts they had. She said, never go boasting about the gift God gave you. Let them see the demonstration. Don't go about boasting about it. But in the end, sometimes these gifts are given to us because we need them badly. I came out of drugs. I came out of deep sin. I came out of a lot of stuff. I needed to have the ability to pray in the Spirit, to let the Holy Spirit intercede, probably mostly for me. So sometimes if you've received that, doesn't mean you're a better Christian than someone here that doesn't have that gift. It means you were desperate enough, God had to give it to you. Or you have a ministry in that area. So don't go about thinking you're better than another Christian if they don't have that gift. Because guess what? Now you're in something called pride, which is not a fruit of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:11 says, but all these work that one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills, as he chooses, differently. And if you read the whole chapter, he went into a lot of explanation about how we're a body. There's people that are ears, there's people that are eyes, there's the smelling. We're all different parts of the body. We're not all one part. So he says, to one person is given the gift of prophecy, to another the word of knowledge, to another faith, to another, to another, to another, to another. And then at the end of it, he says, do all prophesy? Do all have this and that? And the inference is no. And if you try to do it in the flesh, you're going to not only wreck yourself, but other people. He disperses them as he chooses. So don't feel like he's rejected you. Look, do you know how long I have been praying? And I'm not mad at God, right? Unlike Patrick over there, who I'm picking on, he loves it when I do this. I do believe that, man, I shouldn't do that to you. All I can say is one day I was very, very sick and I could not stop coughing so badly. And Patrick, being a young Christian, years ago in this church on a Wednesday night, yeah, all of a sudden God said, go lay hands on Kevin. Huh? That was a strange thing for you, wasn't it, Patrick? You had no clue. He went to another elder and said, I think I need to go pray for it. He didn't really know me that well. I was trying to teach in here, and I had a cough that wouldn't go away. It was one of those dry coughs. It was like a bronchial thing. I had prayed, hadn't manifested yet. So he got the courage, came into the room, laid hands on me, prayed for me, and by the time I went to bed, that thing had dried up and went away. I could feel the infusion of the Lord's healing. So I'm always telling Patrick, keep laying hands on the sick, will you, brother? Keep laying. Yeah, but you don't know what a mess I am. He's gifted you. He's not taking it away.
I'll just say this. If God really wants you to do something, you're going to do it.
Well, you can resist it. But this is how God makes a complete body. I prayed for years for that gift. It hurts me to see people suffer and be sick. It hurts me. I know another man in Phoenix, Arizona, Scott Olson, who sends us books, gifts our church, paid for our tent revival a few years ago, gift of healing, like nobody's business. I sat in this restaurant. I remember one morning there in Phoenix, Arizona, we went into this restaurant they called May West, had the best breakfast on the west side of Phoenix, and we were getting ready to go off to Tucson. He's going to treat me to a day, different things, because he knew I love history and the old Wild West, and I had a little problem that morning. That's another thing I'd love to teach about, but I can't teach about it as well as people that have that gifting. I learned how much Scott was gifted that way when I couldn't, how do you say it sanctimoniously behind the pulpit? I couldn't stay out of the bathroom. There I said it. I'm going to be real. It was a bad day. I didn't want to go 2 hours across the desert like that. And it was bad. Even in May West, I was going to the bathroom every 5 minutes, and it was not good. And I'm thinking, Lord, how am I going to take a trip across the desert like this? And I mentioned to Scott Olson, and he come across the table at me. Come on! And he's originally from New York, so he's got that accent, which I know well from my mom. Come on, brother, let's get the devil off your back. And he comes across the table. Right, this restaurant was packed. I'm peeking around thinking, wow, I need healing, but, you know, I hope he's led of the Lord. Let's get the devil off your back. And he comes across the table, lays hands on me. And from that second, I still started feeling that same infusion of healing in me the day Patrick prayed for me. I just started feeling stronger. And he had a kind of an eccentric guy. He had a yellow vet. And boy, were we trekking across the desert. And I'm still, you know me, it takes me a while. I'm, God, you know, did the healing come? I feel different. I haven't gone to the bathroom since. And you know, that's me. Well, I'm not trying to be unscriptural. It says prove all things, right? Hold fast to that, which is good. And so I said, Scott, you know, after going into an hour, I said, I do feel better. I feel. He goes, come on, brother, you healed. You healed. Enjoy the trip. I enjoyed the trip, and I kid you not, I did not need the bathroom for 2 straight days. I'm kidding you not. At least not for what was ailing me, okay? Nothing worse than being in the desert and trying to hide behind a cactus, right? There you have it. I hope you guys don't think I'm being unspiritual. A merry heart does good like a medicine church. God knows what he's doing. He divides these gifts severally as he chooses. And I know that man has the gift of healing. He has it so much that he even formed a company to keep people well and keep your colon healthy. And healing is just him. God infused him with that. I prayed for that a lot. And I if God doesn't give it to him, we're not going to whine and cry and go, well, I'm not going to talk to you for a while. No, it's his business. It's his business. I'm happy to flow in the gifts he gives me, but I still pray for it. I still want that gift, okay? But there's another thing. If your heart is not in the right place and you ask amiss, if he gave it to you, you can make a train wreck of it. And he knows that. I don't know if that's my issue or not, but he knows. We got to let God be God. So when you come and you pray and you ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit, don't think he's rejected you if a certain gift that you desire is not manifested in you. Your parents loved you back in time on Christmas time, whether you got that bicycle for Christmas or not, or a bunch of nice clothes, which I never liked the clothes. I wanted the bicycle. You know how that is. I wanted a BB. Well, I did get the BB. We're not going to go down that road. Did get the BB gun. All right, where am I at here? I'm about done. Remember, if you go into 1 Corinthians 12, we're not going to go there. There are 8 more gifts of the Spirit. And this is our arsenal. This is our weaponry, church, until we see him face to face. And then prophecies will cease, tongues will cease, those kinds of things. When you're in heaven, you're not going to need that illumination, words of knowledge, all that stuff, because you're going to be there. We are in this fallen world. We see through a glass darkly now. We need his help. We need his power and edification, not only for ourselves, church, but for a lost and dying world. There is nothing like, and Marvin has some of these testimonies. I love him every time he tells them. There's nothing like seeing a sick person in Kroger or wherever you're at. I mean, can you imagine the revolution there would be if I used to tell the teenagers, well, if you got the gift of healing, and I know it grieves you heavily in the public school and they want to talk about evolution and all this unbiblical stuff, you know how to shut their mouth real quick? Because they will have no explanation for it. That poor kid that comes to school every day that was born crippled and is in a wheelchair that you see going up the halls every week, what would they say to you then? If you walked up and said, be healed in the name of Jesus, and that kid come up out of the chair, what would they say then at that public school? What kind of argument would they say against your God? This is why Paul said, I did not come with fancy words, but in the power and the demonstration of God's Spirit. Because preaching is often backed up with those signs and wonders, not so you can show off and be better than somebody else, because God is desperate to save souls out here. They need to know we have a Jesus. We celebrated it. I hope you celebrate it every week, a few weeks ago, that he came out of a tomb. He's not dead anymore. And he sheds his Spirit in us. He himself is living in us of a truth. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this world needs to see that he is not dead. We don't just say a bunch of empty words. We back it up with the power and demonstration of the Spirit. I would not go to a church that did not believe that way. Wouldn't do it. So these gifts are important. This is why I said earlier that it's important that we operate on all nine cylinders. No, it's not all about tongues. I'm not just satisfied if people get that one particular gift. I rejoice. They need to be instructed how to use it when they get it. But wow, can you imagine a church filled with people who prophesy, who get words of knowledge, who discern spirits, and people come in here oppressed or even possessed, and they get suddenly set free with demons cast out of them, and they go home a new person. Do you think people then would look at our Jesus a different way and say, wow, there's something to this Jesus. He must really be alive. It shatters all the secular humanism when the church operates in the power of the Spirit. And sad to say, we're in the last days where Jesus said, if I return, will I find faith on earth? Let's not be that way in this body. Let's be a real New Testament church. I always say I'm not satisfied until we line up with the church in the book of Acts. Not satisfied. Won't be. But for me, most of that is in the salvation of souls. I would love to see a day where the Spirit falls and 3,000 people get saved all in one day. I'd love it. I still know of a truth. There was a reason why a neighbor over here saw fire coming off the church one day and called the fire department. I think that was prophetic. And I think that is important for this church to stay here because I think that was what to come. What to come. All right, I'm going to close at this point. Alex, you can come on up. If you want to pray to be baptized in the Holy Spirit today, if you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can come up. We'll pray for you. You could wait. I don't always tell you to wait because I always think the time is now. Next week when Michael's here, come up. I'm sure they're going to have an altar call. I can't imagine you guys ministering together without an altar call. You want to give us a little insight about next week? Make sure, I want to hear, want Facebook people to hear this that are watching.
I want you to pray for the meeting next week and come expecting, come with a spirit of expectation that God is going to perform miracles. We are going to see a tremendous move of God.
Amen, in Jesus' name.
Next week. So continued in prayer for that.